and start up a little bit. I want to start by thanking Lee for the transcriptions of the program today. If you haven't noticed yet, there is a ribbon on the bottom of your screen where you can click live transcript and pick a couple of ways to see the text of what's being spoken. I also want to thank Joe for managing the chat. Hi, Joe. I saw you hop on. Hi. And Alex for running tech. Thank you, Alex. Sorry, I'm trying to click these admins at the same time as this. So let me see how many. We've got about 30 folks.
Click Tony Ann.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Oh, there you go. Boom. Okay. Thanks. So I happy holidays, everyone. Well, I'm not sure how everyone manages December, especially in circumstances like this one, but I hope that you're finding connection and joy whatever way you're able to. I was mentioning to the folks earlier that I must have slept funny, but I also got out of bed funny and I really hurt my back. And so if I take a deep breath and gasp or I'm otherwise kind of tense, it's because my body is upset with me at the moment.
Oh, it's phony today.
Yes, it's me. Sorry.
Oh, no. Just.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry. But yes, it's me today. I can't remember who was the Feldenkrais, who gave the Feldenkrais tip. But thank you for that. I'm going to do some exercises and I hope that all of you take care of your body as well. So we're at the last Saturday service of 2020. I think we all deserve a round of applause for sticking it out, for committing to at least an hour a week where you're involved in conversation that uplifts your heart and your mind and connects you with people in a time of disconnection. I realized as I was chewing on what to do, I have a topic in the queue and I want to thank Bob ahead of time for it. Bob, you mentioned something at the end of last Saturday service that I was here for in November, something about loving people who sometimes seem unlovable. And I've got a really wonderful thing that I'd like to move us through, but it just didn't feel appropriate for the end of a year like this one, in the middle of holiday seasons where, you know, there's always complicated feelings, even if we are together and able to see our families. So I realized that I love you all and I have such a really special reverence and respect for the way you all show up to this space. And also, I don't really know you very well. And I feel like Rabbi has a different seat since he's the creator of this space and has been a magnet to bring each of us here. And so I wanted to do just a couple of things to kind of recap and also do a late orientation to kind of have you get to know me and me get to know you a little bit more. And also think about what we want moving into 2021 as it looks like there will be some variables that are the same, you know, like we're having vaccine conversations, we're still wearing masks, it's not clear what's gonna happen. And so we can trust that there'll be some similar instability moving forward, but I wonder what that means for us here. And so I wanna take some time to do a little bit of a different exercise. Take a deep breath together. And if you are on video, what you're gonna wanna do, this is gonna be a little bit tricky if you're on the phone, but that's okay, we'll find a way. So I want you to move your cursor so that it's highlighted over your stop video feature on that bottom ribbon of your screen. And I want you to turn your cameras off. And what we're gonna do, get it? I'm going to also, Alex, if you wouldn't mind muting everyone. I know normally I'm saying not to mute you, but this time we're going to mute everyone just for a little bit of simplicity.
This is interesting.
I was just talking to myself. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you a few questions and if it applies to you, I want you to turn your camera back on And we'll all take a few seconds scrolling through the gallery view to see who whose faces we can see. So if you are retired, as in like you do not have a second job after retiring, if you are retired, can you please turn your camera on so we can see you? And what should happen is the folks who turn their cameras on should pop onto the first screen of your gallery view. Also, sorry, if you don't know where how to get your gallery view, on the top right corner, there's a little icon that says view. If you click it, it'll give you some options. Okay, so thank you, folks. So everyone take note of who we've got here. Thank you, everyone. You can turn your cameras off. And if you are a full-time student somewhere, enrolled in whatever thing, can you turn your camera on, please? Full-time student. All right. Thank you. You can turn your cameras off. Nikki, did you mean to have your camera on for a full-time student? Nope. Okay. Maybe. Okay. If you work in finance or banking or some sort of money-oriented thing, can you turn your cameras on? No finance. No students. Okay. How about anybody who works in medicine or health or healing, some sort of, are you a physical therapist, a mental health therapist, doctor, something like this? Anyone else? Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Stephen. You can turn your cameras off. Is anyone in the military among us? Or have served in the military? Thank you. I'm not hitting very good ones here, am I? Thank you, Emily. You can turn your camera off. And thank you, Bob. I see you, Bob. Thanks. And if you are a teacher, can you turn your camera on so we can see you? And teacher, of course, in like any way, really, you help facilitate groups. You are a teacher in a school or some sort of ministry, however that looks for you. You could turn your cameras on. Beautiful. Thank you. So everyone, let's we can all turn our cameras back on. I was hoping that I got some wide swaths of people. If you wouldn't mind, if I didn't say the thing that you do, if you wouldn't mind typing that in the chat so that we can see, I seem to have missed the majority of people with that list of six options. So if you don't mind typing in the chat what you do or what world you understand yourself to be in occupationally so that we can see that, that would be great. And I should note, I'm gonna make time for this a little bit later. I've noticed when I'm here with you all that at the end, there's a little bit of space where folks are asking me questions because you all don't know me just as much as I don't really know you. So I want to make some time too for you to ask me some questions. So if you have any in your mind that have been brewing or just things that you want to know about somebody who's sort of guiding your time, the 1 hour that you spend a week in a community, I think you deserve to know who you're talking to a degree. So feel free to write those down and we'll have time to ask those. So we've got some computer folks here. We've got some retired nurses, airline work, nonprofit stuff. Oh yeah, I should have asked if they were activists. There's probably like a lot of you who do community driven stuff. Yeah. And I can't believe that didn't come to my mind. I guess I'm exhausted by that world, so I didn't even think about it. But thank you for holding us down in the fight, however you do it. And some spiritual direction. Beautiful. So I think this is a cool thing too. I'm not sure how much you all know these things of each other too, but to sort of take mental note of how mixed this group is and how that diversity of focus and purpose doesn't seem to change much for the way we show up for each other. I think that's a beautiful thing to be celebrated. And so in this line, I wanted to also take a minute to highlight the year. So a little bit of a pivot here. I know that Rabbi's done this exercise with you. I'm trying to get all of the things out of the way at once so that we can get to more hearing from one another. So I'm gonna copy a link in the chat there. And the same way that you did with Rabbi with the anonymous page, I want you to open an incognito page. If you don't know how to do that, can you raise your hand? I don't want to tell you things you don't know. Okay, beautiful, perfect. So if you're using, are you using Google Chrome? Yes or no? No. Okay, whatever browser you're using then, doesn't matter. You're gonna open it, and up at the top, you see how you have the name of the browser and then maybe you have file. You're gonna hover over file. Let me know when you're there. Hovering over file. And you should see an option that says new, hold on 1 second, new private window, or if you're in Chrome, it'll say incognito window, and you wanna open that. And a whole new bubble should pop up inside the internet. Yes, Alex is saying in Safari, you're gonna go file, and then new private window. In Chrome, it's new incognito window. Are we okay?
In Chrome, you can also go Control-Shift-N.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jeffrey. Control-Shift-N.
Shortcut Safari, Safari says it can't open the page.
It can't open which page? The link I sent you or the incognito window?
The incognito window. It said can't open that page.
Do you have any other browsers that you use? Is that the only way that you use to get on the internet?
I'm on Zoom, actually, but Safari is my normal one.
Gotcha. So try it. Do it for me one more time. Close the Safari that you opened.
Okay.
And then try to open it one more time.
Okay.
And then try it again. Try going up to File and then selecting New Private Window underneath that menu option.
Okay.
Did it work for you?
Whoop. I'll tell you in a sec.
Sure. So for the folks who are already there, you can follow that doc link. There are three questions and then a fourth prompt. And the three questions are, Rita, I didn't forget about you. Did you get on okay?
Not yet.
Okay, 1 sec. I'll be with you in just a minute. I want to give folks a few minutes to write in this.
As you were.
yeah, I don't see a URL in the chat.
The goodness. Okay. Mine is, because it's going to the waiting room.
Oh, I'm okay. Down.
That's why. No one's even getting it. Hold on. Why is my...
Oh, there it is.
Got it?
Yes, now we've got many.
And so the whole point of this is to contribute anonymously, okay? So if you're in that incognito window, I can't see your name. Nobody else can see your names. And so you're gonna, I just want you to write down really quickly, if you wanna come back to it later as well, just keep the browser open so you can do it at another time. But I'm wondering what some highlights of this year are. I'm wondering, hold on, let me open it myself again.
Can I just put this in chat?
Put what in chat?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, I wanted folks, you absolutely can. I just wanted folks to have the option of answering those questions anonymously. And so if you want to put them in the chat, you are more than welcome to do that. These are my questions. I'm going to copy the questions in there for you now. The first question is, what do you want to cultivate in or around yourself for the coming year? And I'm using... Rabbi's model of like thinking of this as spiritual fitness and my own disposition as sort of like a community building place. And so I know that you all have worked on gratitude and patience and those kinds of things. And I'm just wondering what else, given the year, how much it had twists and turns, what are some things that you want to build in yourself?
Flexibility.
There's name an area of your spiritual life that has been helped by the programming that you've experienced at Religion Outside the Box. So like, basically, why do you keep coming back? Why do you show up every Saturday for this? Why do you come to Rabbi's meditation? So what's an aspect that has been helped of your spiritual life? That has been helped by ROTB programming. And this counts as our meditation for today, BT Dubs. So I know you weren't prompted beforehand of like thinking about these things. And I think my third question got deleted somehow. All right. So I'll give you all a couple more minutes to move through that. And then if, like I said, you can just keep it open and come back to it later. But I don't want to just meet you all on Saturdays and talk about things that are interesting to me because, oh, there you go. Thanks, Rabbi. The third one is what topics, exercises, or questions or blank would you like to explore on the Saturday services? So how do we help kind of move you through things that would be relevant for where you're at and what you're thinking about? And then the last thing is highlights, which I'd like for us to take some time talking about together. I know the year was wild in a number of ways. We didn't know that wildness could exist. And so I'd like to hear from you all about what are you celebrating in this season? What are you celebrating as you are closing out this year? And make it open for whoever would like to share. No celebrations in the season of holidays. That's real and not surprising. But I suspect there are things that people are proud of themselves for accomplishing or happy to have experienced.
At the beginning of the year, February, my older granddaughter got married in California, and then 3 weeks later, they had a renewal of vows in Florida. It was sort of like a his and her weddings. And the blessed part is that all of this happened before COVID hit. I went to Florida on a Thursday in March, and by the time I came back that following Tuesday, I was very concerned about COVID. So they just had this window of time to celebrate their marriage and renewal of vows.
Wow. So they got in just in the nick of time, huh?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Well, thank you, Priscilla. Congratulations on the growth of your family. That sounds exciting, even if it's been delayed in getting to be with them.
Oh, actually, they live in California and I live in Denver, and they drove here over Thanksgiving.
Oh, wonderful.
Four wonderful days together. Yeah.
Good, good.
Yeah. And I have
they're
a friend.
They're actually Rabbi Brian's. What are they, Brian? The second cousin once removed or something? I don't know.
Small world, huh?
Yes, some. Odd relationship here. Funny. But good.
Good. Thank you, Priscilla. Betsy, sorry, you were saying something?
I was saying, speaking of the nick of time, I have a friend in Colorado who got a kidney transplant last January, just in the nick of time, that wow. He had been waiting for 2 years, doing dialysis twice a week.
Wow. Thank you, Betsy. Does it feel like the end of the year to you all? I wonder, maybe I made an assumption about how people use the last week of December, like taking stock and figuring out how to move ahead.
It doesn't feel like the end of the year to me because nothing's changed in my life. And
I'm lost its meaning for me in May.
What I'm celebrating is ethical scientists. There are some out there. I'm reading this fantastic book right now about fungi and how they're going to save the world. Even the bees naturally eat fungi to kill the viruses that are in the bees that are killing the bees. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's some good stuff going on out there in the scientific world. Really good. Really good.
Thank you, Carol. Was that, Rita, was that you who was starting to say something as well?
Yeah, I gave up.
Oh, it's your turn. Tell us.
Oh, well, you asked if it felt like the end of the year, and I said I sort of lost track of time maybe in May or June. I only know what day it is if the garbage is going out that day.
Fair. And that should be celebrated, too, that you can keep track of the garbage day, because between my husband and I, we often don't remember that. So, yes. Yeah. Anything else folks are happy to have experienced or witnessed this year?
This group.
That's nice.
Say more, Gord.
Amen.
It was Rob who said that, but I'm with Rob fully.
Oh, Rob, I'm sorry. Your box lit up. I'm sorry.
What I'm celebrating right now, though, is I've got three kids, 12, 14, and 18, who I thought would be kind of bummed about not seeing their cousins and their grandparents and just being stuck with me and my wife over Christmas. And they just filled our cups. They've been phenomenal. And they've been so full of love and care for one another. We just had a terrific couple of days.
Well, lovely.
Thank you.
You know, this sounds like a really dumb thing to be grateful for, but every now and then there is a commercial on TV, and I don't even know what, I think it's insurance or something, and it's like this family in different rooms, and they're all doing that. What is that dance that Irish
clogging? The Geico commercial.
Clogging. They're talking, they're advertising, and all these people, they're just doing their work, and you know, they're around the house and clogging away. And every time I see it, frankly, it makes me just laugh.
Yeah.
And I have to celebrate things like that. You know, you have to.
Yeah. Laugh through, as they say, laugh through the pain, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, thank you all for indulging in that. I know it can be awkward to think about things that have gone well. And of course, if there are things that pop up, throw them out later. The last question that I want to ask you before I make space for other things is, what are some ways, hold on 1 second. Getting a prompt. Okay, sure. So I'm going to do the announcements first, actually. Pause for announcements. Let me get them up. So I'm going to throw them in the chat box as well. It's a little bit easier. So the announcements, as you all know, there are three ways for you to be of support. Tell your friends about the service. Forward your friends the newsletter, especially when it resonates with you. You can make a donation to partner with Rabbi Brian on creating Religion Outside the Box magic. And the third way you can support is to buy something at the ROTB Etsy store. His stained glass nightlights are new and available for purchase there. And all of those supports help to go towards keeping these kinds of programs free and accessible. So thank you for those of you who are contributing in those ways. And if you're wondering about how you can support, those are some ways to do so. The link to the Etsy shop is in the chat there. You can show up to meditation with Rabbi Brian on his Facebook page. And you can also participate at the YouTube channel where all the Saturday services are archived. There's another link too, that's support. It's rotb.org/empower/support/. So you can hang out on those places if you'd like to give back to the place that's giving to you. And there's also virtual donuts at the end of the hour, and everyone is welcome to stay for that. Alex and Joe and who else is helping with that? Is it just the two of you? Sorry.
Lee does when Lee. She's able to stay.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks. So those three will be helping with that. Thanks, Lee. questions about the announcements? No? Okay.
Oh, don't forget the weekday Tuesday group. And
the Tuesday, that's right. Yes, thank you.
11 o'clock daily group.
So there's 11 o'clock daily group that meets on. It's on the same Zoom line. Is that true?
No. It's a different. It's a different meet. I will post a link to the Facebook group. So if anybody wants to come to the group that's just us talking, the Facebook link will get you there. Then you can send me a private message, and I'll send you the link to the actual meeting.
Thank you, Alex. All right. And so I noticed as you all were, for those of you who did share things that you're grateful for that happened in this year, everything was about other people around you. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm so glad that I cleaned out my closet, or, you know, like there was some kind of us involved in your eye. And that's, I just think that's worth noting. So thank you for sharing those things, and for those of you who have something come to mind and didn't share too, just making space to honor that. Because this, I think every time I listen to a Saturday service or come to one, I hear somebody mention how important this group is. And I wonder if the next thing we could do is think about what you would like for this group moving forward in the coming year. Like, what are things we can do together? What are ways you would feel, it was clear in my head and now it's not so clear. I guess I'm just wondering if we can vision collectively about the coming year. That's my question, my prompt.
Sing-alongs.
What kind of sing-alongs, Rob? Like musicals, rock?
Whatever you like.
All genres, huh?
All genres are taken. Beautiful. Kind of like this meeting.
Out of the box.
There you go.
Mamma Mia, sing off.
I think a series of potluck picnics around the country.
Oh.
I think it's Messiah, but.
I think there were two folks talking at once around the potluck comment, but I only heard the one voice. Does somebody else? I missed it. Okay.
I have a pot.
I have something. If you got me?
Yes, sir.
If we continue to do the breakout groups and smaller groups, that more time is given to speak, to get to know each other. You know, otherwise, it just becomes difficult, frustrating when it ends so abruptly.
Yes, I agree. That's my favorite part of the breakout groups.
Yeah, I mean, if they're to be used, then, you know, bigger ways to elaborate on. Yeah. Thank
Beautiful. You. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sometime I'd like to have us all talk about prayer, because I'm not very good at it.
That can happen. Well, thank you, Emily.
We pray for you.
I need it.
It's not saying that you are prey.
English is tricky that way, isn't it?
Ooh.
The thing about Rob is he always has those very nice comments and additions.
Yes, he does.
Unmaster.
I think everybody is very low-key today.
We are. Yeah. I appreciate it. Is there anything else? I don't want to switch before other things get said. Less good and more practical. Yes. Okay. That's helpful.
There's a suggestion in the chat about, are we doing spiritual, religious, faith democratically?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I'm not sure.
It means are we allowing everybody to have a voice and they're in the variety of
experience.
Oh, no.
And demographically.
That would be, yeah, I would second that. I would think it would be interesting to learn a little bit about what the religious phenomenon that's being experimented with here is exactly.
Ooh, as in like where we're coming from, Rabbi and I?
Yeah, well, what's the foundation? It seems there's a new form emerging here. And I think there's been a lot of thought about the form that is emerging here that's remained academic. But this is like being played out here. And it might be good that, you know, we talk about that. I don't know if it's helpful or not. It's a little more on the intellectual, philosophical side. So it's a matter of balancing what the rabbi or the group is more interested in, the kind of feeling, psychological, problem-solving, ethical thing, or theological thing.
I love to hear people's stories about how they got from where they started to where they are. I love hearing anybody's story.
I would like to hear about people's soul work, you know, their internal whatever they're doing.
That's what I'm talking about, Carol.
Yeah, I don't even know how to put it in words, you know, but what's going on in their souls and their psyches?
Wonderful. Thank you. All these are already getting some ideas moving, so thank you.
Just saying, I'm a soul man.
That could be the perfect sing-along for that day. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm a soul man. Yeah.
Lots of
resources. Rob, now you gave me an earworm. Thanks, man.
Anytime.
Well, thank you, Rob. Lonely. Thank you, Rob.
Also, if you do keep that window open with that Google Doc, you can add these things to it. So feel free to do that. So we're at the halfway mark, and I want to make space for you all to ask questions of me as well, if there are any. It doesn't have to be about anything in particular, just I'm usually the one talking, and just wondering if there's anything I can answer for you about me or about whatever.
No, just keep talking. It's great.
Okay, thanks. Then I think I want to go back a little bit to Michael. If I'm understanding the last comment you made correctly, you're wondering what Rabbi and I what understanding we're operating off of to sort of design this space.
Well, I think I'm attracted to this because it's framed as a service and a Saturday service, so it obviously represents a creative understanding of how to be Jewish. And so that's interesting to me, and how people who aren't are part of this as well. So it challenges my own identity and my own understanding of what Judaism is, and how it's evolving and changing demographically, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's obvious from the Pew Report and all kinds of things. So, you know, just what's going on in this country. What is...
Gotcha.
I think there's a new religious consciousness or theological or spiritual consciousness that people, Christian, Jews, Buddhists, atheists, whomever, are tapped into here.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that evolve into some kind of common experience that people can really experience community this way, in this virtual way? And if it's even, it's a deep question. I mean, for me, it's profound in that sense, because I don't know how we're connected, really. We can only be connected if everybody understands how we're connected in addition to our emotions. I think that is the ground of our connectedness, is our emotions and ethics. But that's just not all we are.
Mm-hmm. Or, I think one of the things this Saturday service does is connect us in a different way. I also come because it's a service, but what a lot of these, what this has done is it has broken down the religious wall of service. That a lot of these people aren't Jewish, and yet we all come together, so we have a new, I don't know what to call it, something going on here that is both religious and secular, of people meeting and growing together, because we come together every Saturday and it's kind of the same group, more or less, with the context that's 40 people who are the same that do this every Saturday, and it's not, it's going against stereotypes.
Yeah.
I think that what we become accustomed to is that organized religion. And I think that one of the things that I've often thought about is actually religion as a person's way of life. And that we've become accustomed to too much structure. I think that one of the things that as when we come together as a community without a identified religion aspect, that we can actually become a community just by sharing our thoughts without having to be tied to some type of structured group. And I think that's where I gain the most out of it, is just by listening to other people's experiences and what things in life mean to them, and without having to have the structure of having to fit into a specific group. And that's what's most meaningful to me.
Yes, no dogma that we have to.
Right.
Yeah, I think Rabbi and I are both pretty allergic to dogma. So as much as...
He has a dog.
But he has two, actually. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
There's dogma and there's catechism.
Yes.
Couldn't resist that one.
Oh, Rita.
I have two of those.
Well, thank you all for answering those. Those are great things to chew on. And I mean, obviously I can't speak for Rabbi, but I can say that one of the reasons why I accepted his invitation to be a part of this group in this way is because I don't particularly, I mean, there is a lot of change happening. Michael, you're right. There's a lot of movement. It's almost like the tectonic plates of all things faith are shifting right now. And I'm more interested in what happens after the fact. You know, a lot of my friends are ordained and are every day very acutely aware of the anxiety that, you know, people feel like their religions are collapsing because people aren't coming to the services anymore. People aren't tithing the way that they used to. You know, even the simple fact that like Sunday mornings aren't protected anymore, there are, well, in a normal year, there are all sorts of activities and child sports games and all these sorts of things that sort of remove the opportunity for people to focus on going to church or synagogue the way that they would have before. And so I'm more interested in the dynamism of what's happening as well. And so that's one of the reasons why I come here. I am not Jewish. I didn't know anything about Judaism until I went to seminary in 2011. And I still feel like I don't know very much about it because I went to a Christian seminary that likes to think that it's very open and does a lot of things, but it's, you know, we learn Bible. It's got some growing edges, I should say. And so I think that's part of why I wanted to take some time to figure out who you all are, because I don't have any sort of Jewish experience to pull from, and yet I am not a part of the organized practices in the Christian world either. And so I wonder about meeting in that place of, you know, we don't do things the way that maybe our great grandparents did in terms of faith practice, but we are still interested in tending to our spiritual lives. And so that's one thing that's motivating me to come here. And the other, I think, is that I think my perspective, so while I was in seminary and figuring out if I was going to be ordained and where to be ordained, I ended up with my mentor becoming a kind of consultant to churches that were discerning if they were going to close their doors or sort of revamp themselves and try to become a new type of congregation. And most of those conversations were happening with people who were retired or about to retire from other work. And they were very committed to changing for the sake of staying alive, but not at all changing for the sake of growth. And so they'll say things like, we want young people here, but they don't want to change their language to reflect the inclusivity of, you know, an unknowable deity, or for example, or they don't really want to do the infrastructure to look at the way that their tendency to be all white means that people who are not white actually are not welcome despite the intention to do so. And so there are ways that intention and practice don't really match. And so a space like this feels like very opposite of all of that. You know, for example, of the six groups that I did name, the biggest one was folks who were retired and were online and we don't sing songs every week. You know, like there's just a lot that's not quote unquote traditional about this space. And yet it seems to be so full of energy and compassion and a lot, and so fertile for other things. And so, I sometimes oscillate from wanting to address what's happening in the collective and make decisions about that, and also just focus on what can help us move through whatever kind of storm is happening out there, because people are really anxious about having to close their churches and their synagogues and then be bought by theater troupes to be turned into, you know, into movie theaters or community centers, you know, like there's a real anxiety about that shift. And so, yeah, I don't know if that's helpful at all, but that's just a little bit about how I'm thinking about doing a new space like this, where just by way of doing it online, a lot of the things that are traditional don't have space, you know, in a way. What else is out there?
I have been looking for community, and since I read Howard Thurman, I'm looking for beloved community, because I need lots of outside sources like Howard Thurman and other people I read to help me figure out what it is I want. I don't even know, you know, until I stumble upon it. Oh, this is it. Anyway, I'm so glad I'm with you guys. That's all.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I see you, Rita.
I'm under flatfoot, and this happens to me all the time in real life, or three-dimensional life also. I just want to say that I've been searching probably all my life, but since my husband died 3 years ago, I started looking at every faith that came near me. Starting with Buddhism, and I found many things in that was, I really could connect with, and metaphysical perspectives in everything, Christianity, Judaism, because they all, and science, they all come down for me to, there is something within each of us that connects with something larger than we can even imagine. Mm-hmm. And that if we let that guide us, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing on the planet. And I think all the religions say that, at least at bottom line, they all seem to say that. It's just that, well, my favorite phrase, religion has given God a bad name. And it's that the fundamentalist perspective of any religion that gets in the way of finding the spirit. And the spirit is what, to me, connects all of us. I'm done.
I think that what you're talking about, Rita, is really the basis of it. I think that we are all one. first of all. We are all one in spirit, and that I think the largest message is that of love, and learning how to love, and learning how to be loved, and accepting that. And that so I think that my background in a little bit is I was raised Catholic and went to the seminary and everything like that, and ended up changing course in life. And that it's a thing of where I look at the organized religions as having in my life become more instructional. What are the rules that you have to follow? What are the things? And rather than looking at it and as a community and saying, you know, what can we do to support each other? We all have different life experiences. What are people facing? What are they changing? That's what I find in this group, is that it's an open forum where people can talk about what they have concerns. We can sometimes let people get it off their chest and be supportive to each other. That's what's most meaningful to me.
There's sort of a weave creating itself in the chat. We who don't fit an organized religion, we come here because we're accepted exactly as we are.
So we're in good company.
I may be an outlier here, but I come here and I also go to my church on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. and both are meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
I do as well.
Okay. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to attend three churches, one in San Francisco, started by Howard Thurman, Jubilee Church in Asheville, which is non-denominational, and the Unitarian Universalist Church in Greenville. I mean, this what's going on right here, it's going on everywhere, but mm-hmm. and it's really special. I mean, that Jubilee Church up in Asheville, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Just, and then there's Nadia Boltz Weber, too.
Oh, love her.
Yeah.
What's that, Emily?
Nadia Boltz Weber. She's got these tattoos all over, and she is very irreverent. I love her.
She has a church in Denver, and I have attended it several times.
Have you?
I mean, her writings and her speaking are fairly irreverent, but the church is very traditional.
Mm. So,
yeah. Anyway, if people come to Denver, they can visit me and visit her.
Oh, yes. A lovely invitation.
When we can all travel again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a happy day.
What's the name of the woman? Nadia
Boltz, Boltz, Weber, Weber.
Yeah, she has a blog that, and she writes, I don't know, every day or something, I'm not sure. But she has prayers that just absolutely, first of all, they crack me up, but they're so authentic.
Mm-hmm. No, she sounds very irreverent, but the church is very, very strictly Lutheran.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
I've been amazed, really, lately. I'm more aware, just aware. Of even the Christians, because my background was certainly evangelical Christian. I always say I'm a recovering evangelical. and it's been amazing to me to see that there are some changes even in the Christian church. And I've been really amazed.
And Hannah, I see you have your hand raised.
Hi. Yeah, I'm trying to formulate the question I have in my brain, so it may come out like word soup here for a second, but I have a bit of a Christmas sugar hangover, I think, so I'm feeling all the... but anyway, so I was thinking about how much I love this group, I think that what we really hit on well is the diversity of our spiritual experience. I wonder how we can continue to strive for the for diversity in our actual like group members. We do tend to be, it seems to me, like a mostly white group. I wonder how we could continue to open the doors for more people to feel included. Like you were saying, Tony, I feel like that's kind of an affliction of a lot of religious groups in general. It's like we want to be welcoming to everybody, but then it feels really closed off when it's more of a, when it ends up being more of a white space. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I think that does make sense. And I one thing that always comes up for me when I'm usually in a mostly white space.
Yeah.
When I hear like questions like, how do we bring on the visual diversity? And I think, and I don't know if this sounds mean. I don't want to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean at all. But I think it's a thing of like, not everybody wants to be at the same party. You know,
yeah.
Like I don't know if it's always a reflection of the horrors of racism, the way that a lot of things are. I think very legitimately, the style and culture that people of color have for spaces like this is just very different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know very many people of color who, like in my personal life, who would find this to be as fruitful as their live stream of the church that they grew up in, for example.
Right.
And so I don't think that's a reflection of what anybody's not doing or doing poorly. I think it's just a matter of culture and preference. And, you know, I don't know that. And so that's complicated, I guess, is what I want to say, because sometimes it is about not checking stuff that's hiding in the shadow. And sometimes it's like, well, you know, you're eating meat and they're vegan.
Right.
Like, what are they going to get from your dinner, you know?
Totally.
So I think that's a good question to ask, and to ask different ways and in different moments to see what else is around it. And I think maybe suspend the assumption that things are the way they are because of some sort of failure. Mm. I don't necessarily think that's always the case.
Yeah. I think it down to the problem of homogenization, of the melting pot idea and everything, and so much would be missed if we neglect the beauty of the different flavors that there are in our society. The Black church, I'm looking forward to that special they're going to do on PBS about the Black church in America, talking about how what an important force that was.
I think, Betsy, what you're making me think about is maybe, so I personally think that the way that I do things is very different from the way that Rabbi does things. And him having been, you know, he's been to rabbinical school, he is Jewish, I am not. My dad grew up in the South, he was raised Southern Baptist. I am presently involved in an African traditional community from Ghana, where the practices are nothing like Judaism or Christianity. And so I wonder, I don't know how to do this myself. Like, it might be a more healthy exercise if somebody else were to facilitate it. But if there have been aspects of my style that have made you feel uncomfortable, or if there have been aspects of, like, if there's anything about the way that I show up that pushes on something for you, might be a thread into a deeper part of this dynamic, because I'm the chocolate chip in the cookie at the moment, in a space like, you know, like from the facilitator seat. And so I think there's sometimes that's a place to start, is how do we even feel when people who don't look like us are in our space? Like, so before we even get to changing the practices, do I feel okay doing things a little bit differently because that's how people who are different from me do those things? And sort of I think that takes a lot more careful handling and slow movement to some degree. Because I've often been the person of color who's invited into a space where they're like, yeah, we love you. And then as soon as I show up as myself, they're like, no, don't do that. We don't love that about you. And that's where that happening in a spiritual space becomes extra violent, because this is a space of such deep vulnerability. And so I'm coming to the table assuming that you're serious about it. And if you're not aware of the ways that who I am fundamentally becomes uncomfortable for you, it ends up becoming a little too taxing, if that makes sense.
I'm learning from Rava, and I like chocolate chips.
What does it mean? What does it mean that I have asked a chocolate chip into this spiritual Jewish?
I should tell you, my mom hates when I say that. Like, she hates it. She's like, stop saying that. I think it's the funnest way to make light of something that's really often very difficult. So my sense of humor may not be appropriate for you, so I apologize if that causes some discomfort. But that was Rabbi's question to the group, is wondering what that means.
You're just a chip off the old block.
Hopefully it's a block that's, you know, I want to be a chip off of.
To expand on that what my way of thinking and acting is that I value the different cultures that exist, and that those cultures have evolved, based on the communities that they came from, but that it adds more to my life experience to be able to be in a culture where I have the opportunity of experiencing other cultures. And that I guess sometimes I wonder whether or not we look at it as communities that are not like me, okay, that whether they might have a feeling of come into the situation with a feeling of perhaps not being welcomed, and that it's something that I want to learn. I want to be able to experience the opportunity to see. I can't necessarily experience anybody else's life experiences, but I can benefit from their sharing, what's meaningful to them, and having them. I want to have them be as welcome as they can be. I don't want to close anybody out.
When I was in seminary, I had a professor who suggested that religions really connect when you get above ritual and move into the realm of the spiritual.
Spirit.
And at the spiritual level, it transcends denomination, it transcends race, it transcends gender to a certain extent. And I sense that in what Brian presents, because he brings in things from all different areas. And my imagination was you were invited in, Tony Ann, because you were a kindred soul. Yes. And I haven't seen a moment in the time that you've been with us that has violated that sense for me.
Well, I want to say something riffing off of what Tony Ann said about her being the chocolate chip in the cookie, right? A chocolate chip cookie isn't a chocolate chip cookie without those chips, right? If you take the chips out, you don't have a chocolate chip cookie. You have something different. And if you take the cookie out, you don't have a chocolate chip cookie. You have something else. But when you take all of it and put it together, you end up with something that's really great. And I think that the point here is that all of us together, I mean, we've got some chocolate chips, we probably have a couple of nuts, we've got some milk, we've got flour, we've got all the pieces, and we've made this really wonderful thing, right? And that is the beauty of this group. So you know, I hope that, you know, people who come feel like they belong, because the recipe isn't the recipe without all the ingredients.
Beautiful. That's beautiful, Alex. And I think the other thing to say on top of that is where I was slowly heading, which is that there's a big difference between having visual diversity and celebrating that, which is what that's like so sexy right now, right? Like the vocabulary is even changing. They're not diversity meetings anymore. It's like, you know, it's important to focus on the visual diversity, which can be so misleading. My mom's white, my dad's black, my sister is like five shades lighter than me, my older sister, right? Like, we don't look like who people think we are necessarily. And we showed in just the first part of this meeting that there's a ton of diversity in this group. And so I suspect that what a lot of communities haven't done is mine that and trust that doing that work of celebrating and honoring the diversity that already exists just because we are so different helps make space for the other types of diversity to flourish as well. And so a part of me asking those questions wasn't just to learn you because I want to know you. It was to also see what kinds of spectrums and axes are we all coming from to land here? Because I can make a lot of assumptions about people with gray hair who are retired, and that doesn't mean that any one of them is going to be right. And I can make a lot of assumptions about people in Canada, and that doesn't mean any one of them is going to be right. But without moving beyond what the visual diversity is, we are missing so much treasure. And so it's not just about, Alex, what you said about, like, yes, this is what we have, and so we can make something delicious, but every one of those ingredients has to be honored for what it is. When we assume that without chocolate chips, there can't be a sweet cookie, like, who's ever had a bad sugar cookie with the right ingredients in it, right? Like, you know what I mean? You've got to take stock of every single one of those aspects of it to really appreciate it, and then start moving from there. And so if that's work that wants to happen here, like, that's sort of my wheelhouse, one that I don't often talk about, but I would be happy for us to play with that a little bit more, because I do think that starting where you're at is the best way to go. So if everybody leaves here and thinks of like three black or brown people that they know of and invite them next week, like, we're gonna end up in some mess, because it's too contrived to just say, oh, right, we realized today that we need more diversity visually, so now we're all inviting these people, right? Like, let's find a more organic and authentic way of exploring and celebrating the nuts, the sugar, the flour, the everything, you know?
And Tony, I want to just say that I hope I didn't come off as putting pressure on you as in this moment, like, the black spokesperson to, like, play that role, because absolutely that's not...
Girl, I'm the Rosetta Stone. You didn't know? No, I'm kidding. You didn't do that at all.
But, like, I think I'm thinking about wanting a space, because, I mean, I feel like I walk into the space and I feel super comfortable, but, like, then I have to think of the ways in which I feel comfortable in the world anyway, because of certain privileges that I have, being white being one of them, and wanting to share if it jibes with people, like, wanting to share the fruitfulness of this experience with, you know, as many people as possible without feeling exclusionary or, you know, committing acts of violence, even out of ignorance or just, like, not noticing. I just wanted to let you know that, like, if I put that pressure on you for any reason, I'm sorry. I didn't
feel any pressure at all. So thank you for thinking of that. And I wanna thank you, Hannah, really. I noticed that we're 4 minutes over. If it's okay with you all, I wanna say one more thing, just respect of time. I know it's taking away from the donut holes, but I think this conversation, it's already pointing to so many things that are really not easy necessarily to go into, and also so necessary. So, for example, I even said it, like, you know, not everybody would be comfortable in a space like this. And I don't think that that's necessarily because of the color of their skin or their ethnic background or whatever. I think, you know, for a lot of reasons, this may not be somebody's cup of tea. And I also think that in these conversations about race, in my experience, what can happen is And this is part of why racial constructs and the prejudices that come with them are so perfectly calculated in their insidiousness, is that conversations about race end up encapsulating our entire scope of thought, of foresight, of discernment. And then we forget that there's a human being on the other side who decides for themselves if they're comfortable regardless of the space, right? And so then I'm just noticing how complex it can be in assuming things that, like, and I even did it in my first comment, which was that everybody wants to be in diverse spaces on Sundays because of style, for example. But that doesn't mean that if you invited somebody that they would be uncomfortable just because it's white. They might be uncomfortable because I'm not ordained. Right, like they might be uncomfortable because we didn't pray. They might be, you know, so just to find ways to make some space around and just start to notice the way that conversations about race can lead you to assumptions about other things and miss. I think the quote is, what you pay attention to determines what you miss. What you pay attention to determines what you see. And having a conversation about ethnic and racial diversity can put us in a position to miss some things that that can be there as antidotes as opposed to, you know, further the problem. So I did not expect that we would be here. So thank you all for going with the flow. Sorry, I just got a text from Rabbi, he's funny. We are 7 minutes past noon. Thank you all for staying. I am gonna hop off now, and Alex, you're taking on the groups. Do I need to change any host thing with you?
What you need to do is you need to make